we'll continue in our study. We've been studying on true happiness. And obviously each time we start a lesson, we talk about how that the world's, I guess, view of true happiness will be totally different than God's. And of course, the God of this world, the devil, and he has a philosophy. And the God of heaven has a philosophy. And there, you know, you've seen the commercials where the little angel's on one shoulder and the devil's on the other. We have a choice. We can have the mindset of, okay, the devil's right, and this is what I have to have as true happiness. But just like Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, once you get it, you're going to find out that it's empty. he says, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And, of course, I've always used the illustration that I heard when I was in Bible college. Vanity is kind of like a soap bubble. It looks shimmery. It looks like, oh, wow, that's awesome. And we all want to, you know, follow it around. But then it goes, and it's nothing. And so that's what the devil will do. He'll say, you know, this is what's going to bring you happiness. This is what's going to, bring your excitement level to where it needs to be. And you got to go after it. And, you get it, and then it pops. And it's nothing. But God says, you know, here's what will bring you true happiness. And if you'll believe Him, you can find that true happiness. And we'll see here as we go through our study in the introduction that we've talked about a couple of these things. That number one, true happiness, again, now it goes against our grain. It goes against our flesh. It definitely goes against the devil and the philosophy he has in this world. But what will bring true happiness is if we're crucified with Christ. And again, that doesn't even make sense in our human brain because it was not something that was pleasant, but it brings pleasantness. If he hadn't have done what he did on the cross, we couldn't go to heaven. And so that tragedy and that hardship and that pain that he suffered brought true happiness. One day we'll get to heaven. We've talked about people that have passed away here on earth and the ones that were saved. Be absent from this body to be present with the Lord. So that is a sad situation, the separation, but then when you think of it in God's point of view, happiness. He's in heaven or she's in heaven, and they're going to be perfect forever. And so same thing, we saw true happiness. The first lesson was that we had to die to self, is what the Bible calls it. I die daily, Paul said. And so again, if we want true happiness, we're going to have to die to ourselves. And we saw to be crucified with Christ. In other words, he said, not my will, but thine be done. So that was the first one we saw. Then the second one, we talked about our spirit. We saw that we all are created just in God's image. We're going to read that in just a minute. And just like God had a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we have the body, we have our soul, and we have our spirit. And so we talked about the spirit in lesson two, or Wednesday night number two, and it was we're supposed to have God's point of view. That spirit is supposed to guide us and say to us what God would say to us. When we read the Word of God and we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, it tells us what God would say. So we have God's understanding or God's point of view. That's what's going to bring true happiness. And we saw that night that if we know that we're saved, we're going to be happy about that. And then the devil can rob that happiness by making us not sure of it. I'm not sure. Did I mean it? Did God save me? Or did I do something wrong and lose it? And that sucks the life right out of us. But if we know that we're saved and we have the assurance of our salvation and we have what we call eternal security, once you're saved, you can't lose that. The Bible Jesus told Nicodemus, you got to be born again. He didn't say you got to be born again and again and again and again and again. No, he said you got to be born again. And that's called the second birth. And then we read in Revelations where there is a second death if you don't have two birthdays. If you have two birthdays, you're only going to have one death. If you ever have that, we might be raptured out. But if you only have one birthday, you'll have two deaths. Your physical death, and then when you're cast in the lake of fire, which is the second death. So we saw that true happiness is God's point of view with salvation, assurance, security, acceptance, and total commitment. And then, so that was our spirit. Then we talked about, I believe it was last Wednesday, our soul. All right, our soul, body, soul, and spirit. We talked about spirit, and then we talked about soul. And that was to let God help us with our emotions. All right, your deep down soul is where your emotions come from. And, of course, we know that we battle inferiority. And, some people, I don't battle that. I'm confident. Okay, that's what we usually do. We either overcompensate or we even lie because we have those things. But our soul, if we have God's perspective, He can help us with that inferiority. He can help us with that insecurity. He can help us with that inadequacy. And we saw that He can help us with our guilt. All right, He can put it as far as the east is from the west and behind His back and so forth. But anyway, these things, were that's what we talked about. So we're in Psalm 42:11. Now tonight we're going to talk about true happiness, our body. All right, true happiness, our body. Most of us, if we're honest, if we looked in the mirror before we came to church tonight, we were not truly 100% happy with what we saw. All right, off the top of my head, duh. I wasn't happy when I looked in the mirror that I don't have the big old locks that I used to have when I was a teenager. All right? Just off the top of my head. Y'all got that one, right? So when we look in there, and then, my daughter-in-law, Jessica, she makes fun of me all the time because, she'll say, if you breathe out, your gut shows. Because I'm always telling her, I'll pull up like that and I'll suck in and I'll say, what gut? What gut? So she laughs, because I do have one. And so, especially if you look in the mirror this way. So if you look in the mirror this way, you're okay. But anyway, we weren't probably just ecstatic about what we saw. Our body. There's all kinds of products you can use out there to get rid of wrinkles and bags under your eyes and all that stuff. Why? Because people don't like what they see. And so forth. They don't want to fix it. And, they remember, when I was 12, right? You probably were battling acne then. You didn't like what you saw then. Man, if I had Clearasil, if I could just get rid of this stuff. Our body. That's God created it. So we have our soul, our spirit, and our body. So we're going to look at our body tonight. The key is with our spirit, we saw if Christ was in the center of our life, that our spirit helped us to realize where we came from, our institution. God created me. All right? And then it helps us with our conscience. That Holy Spirit guides us and tells us and helps us with our conscience. And then it also, the Bible says, God is a spirit, and they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and truth. So it helps us with our communion, our relationship with God. That's what the Spirit does. If Jesus is the center of our life, then our spirit's right. Then we see here, if Jesus is in the center of our life, our soul will be right. And we talked about our emotions and our mindset. That's why the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He's trying to help your soul. So if you think like Jesus, your soul's going to be okay. If you think like Jesus, your emotions are going to, what does the Bible say? Be angry and sin not. Okay, the only way to do that is let Jesus be in control. All right, because when we get angry, what we want to do is sin. We want to chunk something, or we want to hit something, or we want to kick something. The husband comes home, fusses the wife turns around, fusses the kid goes over and kicks the dog, all right, and the dog goes and bites the cat, all right, and if there's a hamster, oh my soul, all right, that's just what it does, okay, that's how we react. But if Jesus is the sinner, it says, how can I be angry and sin not? Or how about this one, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Somebody says something to you, pulled out in front of me. Where'd you learn how to drive? Did you get your license in the Cracker Jack box? And you're like, well, I'll tell you. We want to say something back. but if the Holy Spirit is in control of our emotions, our soul is okay and we respond the right way. So, again, this is hard stuff to do. To keep your spirit right, Jesus is going to have to be the center of your life. If you have anything else in the center of it, it's going to be out of whack. If Jesus is the center of your life, He'll help you with your soul, your mind, your emotions, and your will. Now, so with all that being said, your spirit can be 100% right, perfect. Your soul can be 100% right, perfect. But our body can't. Okay, why? Because it's been damaged. Because of that one man, he sinned. Sin entered into the world. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So this body can't be perfect down here. That's why when we get to heaven, what happens? We get a new one. All right? And it'll be just like Jesus. It'll be not able to sin. It'll be perfect. So, but what we have to do is like not throw it up, throw the baby out with the bathwater, or just throw our hands up and say, I give up. No, we've got to try. The Bible says, be ye perfect, for I am perfect. So God wants us to try to make this body perfect. Now, I'm not talking about getting me a rug. all right, or a toupee, or I'm not talking about, you know, stapling this up. You know, I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about it being perfect, sinless. Okay, so we can try to do that. And the only way to do that, only way to get close is to have Jesus as the center of our life. So we're going to see with Christ in the center of our life, our body is helped down here to the best of its ability. So it will not be totally right until we get to heaven. Why? Because it's been damaged. Adam and Eve, they sinned. And if sin came into the world, and we're all born in that sin nature. So our spirit can be perfect, our soul can be perfect, and our body will not be perfect until we get a new one and we get to heaven. So however, Christ is the center. It will help the inside of this body, and it will help the outside of this body. And I know there's a big argument about that that's been going on for years. This is what's on the inside that counts. And that's true. Right? But that doesn't alleviate the outside. I think it's on the outside that needs to look right too. Okay, so we have to work at that. So it says here, if we're right with God, it'll help with our tension. Okay, if we're angry and we're not sinning, not it's going to cause tension. All right, and I hate tension headaches. I mean, you're like, oh, it just starts hurting and goes all the way up. Nerves. All right, we always tell our grandkids, "You're getting on my last nerve." Okay, and they're like, "Where is it, Grandma?" I didn't mean to step on it. All right, so anyway, but if we're right with God, it'll help this body, and it won't have so much tension, because God gives peace. He don't give tension. All right, so we see here we can work on that, and anxiety, nervousness, just all this kind of stuff. But God says, hey, I give peace. So if Jesus is in the center of your spirit, it'll be right. If He's in the center of your soul, it'll be right. And if He's in the center, your body will be helped as much as it can. These two verses, John 14:27, it says here, "Peace I leave with you." All right, Jesus didn't say, "Hey, I'm going to heaven, so here's you some tension." All right, I've seen people, I mean, their body is almost deformed because there's so much tension. I mean, they'll get a knot, and they have to go to the chiropractor, or they'll have to get a massage therapist, and this, that, and the other. Why? Because they're just all tight and tense. That's not God. He says, "Hey, I leave peace." Okay, and what some people they find peace in pills, they find peace in booze, they find peace in some other sin, and what happens is when they come out down off their high, there that tension comes right back. Why? Because it didn't fix anything. You just didn't realize it, and so forth. But God says here, I give you peace. It's found in John 14:27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." And here he goes, he differentiates. "Not as the world giveth." So the world will say, "Hey, take this pill, or do this sin, or do this, and you'll be happy." No, Jesus says, "Hey, I leave you some peace. Not as this world giveth, but which I give unto you." It says here, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And so if I keep this body right with God, God will give me peace. And it'll take care of the tension and the nervousness and the issues. Another place is found, Philippians 4:7. Philippians 4:7, it says this, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ." So again, if you saw somebody that was right with God and they went through a tragedy, yes, they would be sad. Yes, they would probably cry. Yes, they would wonder why. They would have all that, but then God, if they're trusting in God, God gives them peace, and they come through that, and people's like, "I don't understand. How'd you come out on the other side happy? How did you come out on the other side and not, you know, freaking out?" Where another person will go through that same tragedy and like, "I got to have something. I got to take something. I got to drink something. I got to do something. I got to get my mind off this." And they, you know, it doesn't pass the understanding. It just creates more havoc and creates more junk. So the Bible says here, "For the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And again, I've lost loved ones. I have, you know, had some losses in my life. And it wasn't because I was super Christian. It wasn't because I put something, you know, of my own into it. No, I allowed God to give me that peace that passes all understanding. People that haven't ever experienced it, that's why the Bible says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." So if you do go through a struggle, if you go through a loss, and you come out on the other side happy, it's because God gave you that peace. Now, So I wanted to get some type of drawing board up here, but we talked about the circle of life, the body, the soul, and the spirit, and Jesus needs to be in the center. Now tonight I want you to picture the eternal lifeline. All right, eternal lifeline. In other words, we talked about this Sunday as far as the east is from the west. And so if I drew a line right here with an arrow going that way and an arrow going that way and just said this line goes forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Okay? And so that's the eternal lifeline or the Jesus Christ lifeline. Right? So in other words, in the beginning, God, so in the beginning, as far back as that line goes that way, in the beginning, God, and it goes on to say, let us make man in our own image. So Jesus Christ was all the way back at that end of the line. And it's been going this way, and it never stops. The Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that eternal lifeline just goes, and there's no stopping it. And it's eternal. It just goes on forever. So we see in Romans 5:12, whereas by that one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So picture this in your mind: we have the eternal lifeline, all right, and we have our beginning. And again, this goes against the world's grain today, especially. We have our conception date. That's when we became a living soul, right? It wasn't when we were born. It was when we were conceived. And so baby murders, all that kind of stuff is wrong, all right? So we have our start time. And then the Bible says it's appointed a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. So we have a starting point, and we have a stopping point, and as of the day we were conceived, it goes perpendicular with Jesus' forever line. Okay? It makes a plus sign. All right, everybody got that picture? All right, so we have our conception and we have our death. Obviously, none of us have experienced death yet because we're all still here. But that's not the way God wants it. God wants it reconciled. And some of you mathematicians, you know what that means. You got to make this side look like this side. You got to reconcile it. All right, whatever you have to take away from over here and add to this side and divide and multiply and do all that kind of stuff, and it's reconciled. There is the answer. So God wants it reconciled. So in other words, instead of having a plus sign, God doesn't even want to have an equal sign. He wants it to be reconciled and just have one line. And so this is how God brings this body true happiness. Okay, so we see our body that has that physical time and the everlasting life. The Bible says in John 1:1-2, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Okay, and it says, and the Word was God. And the Bible calls Jesus Christ the Word. Okay, so He was there in the beginning. And it says here, and the same was in the beginning with God. Colossians 1:15-17 says this, who was in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, talking about Jesus. Verse 16, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. All right, so that eternal line, Jesus Christ was in the beginning. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Hebrews 1:2-3. Hebrews 1:2-3 says this, hath in these days, or these last days, spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Verse 3 says here, and being in the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power. So Jesus, obviously, it says here, created all things. Nothing consists unless He allows it to consist. So it's on that line. So we're born in sin, and so we make a plus sign. So now, for our body to be right, it has to be reconciled. So we see the beginning. There is no end. It just goes forever. And that's where it's found. It's Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and forever, or yesterday and today and forever. So our body took place at conception, and it will stop at death. The Bible says it returns to the dust of the ground. So if that's our only beginning, that will be our ending, and we'll die and go to hell and burn forever. Jesus wants it to be reconciled. So we have to have that second birthday, and that way we're not perpendicular anymore. We're running coinciding with Jesus. He's the vine, and we're the branches. We're supposed to be in Him. He's supposed to be in us. So I'll read you a couple other verses, and we'll get to the, I think it's a 5 points in the outline, but I'll get to you. John 3:3, it says this, "And Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, or unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So we're talking about our body tonight. How can our body be happy? I guarantee you it doesn't want to go to hell, because it talks about this body burning forever. It talks about this body being chewed on by worms forever. It talks about our body being able to hear forever, the gnawing and gnashing of our teeth and the yelling and the screaming. So this body's not going to be happy in hell. It's going to be happy when we get to heaven. And so 1 John 5:11-12 says this, "And this is the record." When you record a record, or you write down a date or a time, "This is the record that God hath given us to eternal life." So when we realized we were a sinner, and there was a price on our sin, and we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, God wrote it down. The Bible calls it the Lamb's Book of Life, or the Book of Life. Our name was recorded. And so we went from being perpendicular to being the same line on that forever lasting lifeline. "This is the record that He has given us eternal life, and in this life is His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life." Reconciled, restored, in harmony, put into that eternal lifeline. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." So, if Jesus hadn't died and shed His blood, we'd have all stayed just like this. Conception, death. Jesus would have been eternal. But because He shed His blood, if we can get that blood applied to our sins, we're there. So, once this takes place, our body is in Him. It's in Him. That's what we call in Him, and He's in us. So we are in Him. We are in His hand. John 10:28 says that we are in His hand, and nobody can pluck us out. The Bible also says we're in His lifeline. In other words, that eternal life. John 3:15 says this, "And whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life." So we're on that lifeline of eternity. So now that we are in that eternal life, here's our outline. We're supposed to take this body. We talked about our soul, we talked about our spirit, tonight we're talking about our body. The most important thing you can do to your body is not get rid of wrinkles, not add some hair back, not lose some weight, not put on muscles. The Bible says, bodily exercise profits little. It's okay to take care of it, but the best thing you can do is get it saved. Get it reconciled. Get it on that lifeline, because if not, your body will never be perfect like your soul and your spirit are if you're saved. But anyway, so what we're supposed to do, we're supposed to take this body. And let's look at what the Bible says tonight. What are we supposed to do with this body? The first one is this. It's found in Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians 5:18. God says, hey, if you want to be truly happy, you got to get this body saved. And when you get it saved, here's some things you need to do to it. It's found in Ephesians 5:18. It says here, "And be not drunk with wine." So the body says, don't put that in here. All right, we're not supposed to drink. Well, it's just a one sip. Mm-mm. Well, the Bible says don't be drunk wherein is excess. It's okay as long as we're not excessive with it. Mm-mm. All right, the Bible says that your strong drink is raging, and whoever is deceived by it is not wise. So this body, for me to be truly happy, I'm not supposed to put alcohol in it, but what does it say? Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. So you, obviously, when you get saved, you get all of the Holy Spirit. But you're supposed to take this body and give a little bit more to the Spirit every day. Give Him more. Give Him more. Give Him more. Let Him fill your mind. Let Him fill your eyes. Let Him fill your mouth. All right, let Him feel what you do with these hands and where these feet go. Let Him be in charge. If the Holy Spirit is in charge of this body, I promise you, you'll be truly happy. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Number two, what are we supposed to do with this body? Let it be filled with the Holy Spirit. Number two is found in Romans 8:4. Romans 8:4. Okay, I want to be truly happy. We talked about my soul. We talked about my spirit. Now we're talking about my body. It's not supposed to be got alcohol in it. It's supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Second thing we're supposed to do, take this body and walk not after the flesh. Walk not after the flesh. You're in charge of this body. You can either do what your flesh tells you to do, or you can do what the Spirit tells you to do. That's our job. And if we want to be truly happy, we're going to have to do what the Spirit tells us to do. If we do what the flesh tells us to do, we're going to be sad. I blew it again. I goofed up again. I'm right back in the same boat. But if we do what the Spirit, walk not after the flesh. It says it in Romans 8:4. It says here, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So this body's supposed to be full of the Spirit, and we're supposed to walk after the Spirit. Don't walk after the flesh. All right? The flesh might have said, hey, go to a party tonight. Your spirit would have said, hey, go to Bible study tonight. So, you know, I'm not truly happy. I wish I was at that party. I know they're having a good old time. But if you want to be right with God and you want to have this body to where it's supposed to be and let it be filled with the Spirit and do what the Spirit says and walk after the Spirit, that's where you're going to find truly happy. I made God happy tonight. That makes me more happy than anything else. Number three, what am I supposed to do with this body? Get it filled with the Holy Spirit and let it walk after the Spirit. Number three is found in John 15:5. John 15:5. I'm supposed to take this body, John 15:5, and it says this, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, shall bringeth forth much fruit, and without me ye can do nothing. And so I'm supposed to take this body and attach it to God. And of course, some of you that have the green thumbs, maybe you know how to take a stem of something or a vine of something and take some rubber bands and, you know, attach it back to the true vine, and it'll actually start growing again. It'll attach itself and it'll start producing fruit. Obviously, when we got saved, that's what happened. We were attached to Jesus. So I'm supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm supposed to not walk after the flesh. I'm supposed to abide in Him and bring forth fruit. The fourth place is found in 1 Corinthians 9:27. 1 Corinthians 9:27. This says, but I keep my body. All right, this right here, what we're talking about. And I bring it into subjection. All right, so the Bible talks about, it says, love not sleep. Okay, now, I like sleep just as good as everybody. I mean, this type of weather, when it's raining and you can lean that recliner back and it's nice and cool, man, you can get a for real nap. That's awesome. I like it. All right, I get it. When that alarm clock goes off in the morning, sometimes you're like, ugh. If I had a shotgun, I'd shoot that phone. All right? Matter of fact, I'll just throw it across the room. Or some of you, you're just real calm about it. You just reach up there and turn it off. Woke me up. I'm going back to sleep. All right? But the Bible says, love not sleep. And so what we have to do, we have to bring this body into subjection. Sometimes you have to reach down and grab yourself by the lapels of the PJs and say, body, get up. You got to go to work to provide for your family. You got to go to work because you made some agreements with some bank accounts that you need to pay. So you bring this body into subjection and say, get up, even though you like sleeping, even though you're tired, get up. So you bring it into subjection. Same thing. Tonight, if somebody pulled up to your house at the exact same time you were walking to the car and said, hey, such and such is having a party, let's go. That would be fun. But the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together with other believers. Body, you're going to church. That's what you have to do. Here's another one. All right. Let's say you're married. And all of a sudden, somebody of the opposite sex that's not your mate comes up, starts whispering sweet nothings, and say, hey, we could this and we could that, like in Proverbs 7. The good man's gone. I mean, he took a whole bag of money with him. He's not going to be home for a long time. I've got perfume. I've got rose petals. I've got this. Let's go. But the Bible says not to do that. That's a sin. Body? No! Let's go to the house. All right, well, let's go this. Resist. So that's what we have to do with this body if we're going to be right with the Lord and we're going to be truly happy. Because the Bible says that person that committed adultery destroyed his own soul, is what the Bible says. Okay, so we have to, if we want to be truly happy, we're going to bring this body into subjection and always keep it where it's supposed to be. That's why the Bible says, give no place to the devil. What does that verse mean? Don't hang around where the devil might be. Body, we're not going there. Nope, they're lying over there. They're stealing over there. They're doing. And you bring that body into subjection and take it where it's supposed to be. So if we struggle to live for Him, all right, He can't live through us. We got to let Him be the center. Here's the next one. It's found in Romans 8:28, which is familiar, and verse 29. Romans 8:28 and 29. So we're supposed to make this body, according to the Bible, look as much like Christ as we can. Now, that doesn't mean you got to go buy you some sandals and get you a white robe. All right. And according to most pictures, you'd have to let your hair grow long, but the Bible says that's a shame. And then you'd have to get you some blue contacts. You know, even though he was Jewish, he had like cold blue eyes, right? That's an artist rendering. That's not what it's talking about. We don't have to look Jewish if we're not. Okay, we just need to look godly. And that's what it says here in Romans 8:28. It says, for we know all things work together, so anything that God allows in our life, it may not be good in itself, but if we'll let this body go through it and ask God how to handle it, it says here it can work together for good to them that love God and to them that He has called according to His purpose. And look what verse 29 says. For whom He did foreknow. All right, the Bible says before the foundations of the world, all the way back at that end of that forever line, the Bible says we were in God's mind. He foreknew. He knew where we would be born, to whom we would be born, where we would live. He knew that. And it says here He also did predestinate. Now, some people hear that word and they go, all right, it didn't mean He predestinated you for heaven and He predestined some for hell. No. It says He knew you and He predestined a life that He wanted you to live. Okay, because what did it say? He predestinated to be conformed, there it is, to the image of His Son. What Jesus predestinated way back at the beginning, before we were even on this earth, I want you to be just like my Son. I want you to act like my Son, talk like my Son, behave like my Son. That was God's will. So we're supposed to take this body, always keep it filled with the Holy Spirit, work, produce fruit, bring it into subjection, and look like Christ. Last one, Romans 6:13. What are we supposed to do with this body? We're supposed to yield it. We're supposed to yield it. All of you that drive, you know what a yield sign is. It means punch it, right? Get out in front of everybody else. Is that what yield means? No, yield means no, you go ahead. Now, yield to pedestrians. Around here, we need yield to deer signs. So I had one run out in front of me on the way to church. But anyway, you got to yield. No, you go ahead. No, you go ahead. So according to this body, well, my mind wants my body to do this. And what I want to do is this. Of course, what we're supposed to do is say, God, like Romans 12:1, present your body a living sacrifice. Romans 6:13 says this, neither yield your members. What that's talking about is your fingers, your toes, your eyes, your ears, your mouth, any appendage or any functionality on your body. It says, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little fingers, what you do. It says here, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Talking about being truly happy. The devil will tell you, hey, you'll be truly happy if you look at that. You'll be truly happy if you tell that gossip. You'll be truly happy if you listen to it. All right? You'll be truly happy if you walk and go and find and do and unrighteousness. But God says, but neither yield your members unto instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but this is what you're supposed to do. Take this body and yield yourself unto God as these that are alive from the dead, as your members of instruments of righteousness. So we're talking about how to be truly happy with this body. What are we supposed to do? We'll go through them real quickly and we'll pray. First, be filled with the Spirit. Don't be filled with wine. Don't walk after the flesh. Walk after the Spirit. Abide in Him. bring this body into subjection, look, act, smell, everything like Jesus, and then you yield to Him. God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Right? I don't care what I want to do. I want to do what you want me to do. That'll bring you truly happiness, I promise you. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day, and thank you for the study that we're in, Lord, on true happiness. God, we saw tonight, Lord, that our spirit can be truly happy if we're saved. Our soul can be truly happy if we've got you in the center of our life. And then now we see the only way we're truly going to be happy with our body is when it's just like yours when we get to heaven. But Lord, here's some principles that we'll apply in our life today. We can be close to that true happiness, abiding in you and letting you abide in us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you are